So good to see the number that we have present today. Your interest in spiritual things is to be commended, and we're excited to see those who are visiting with us. We want you to know you're our honored guest. We want you to come back each and every opportunity that you have and open the scriptures and search them, making sure that the things that are being taught are so. It is my endeavor to preach the Word of God and teach it in love and in simplicity and boldness. And so I hope that our time spent today will be most profitable and please the Lord and, of course, be a benefit to the audience. Please be turning, if you will, to John, the 18th chapter, around verse 17. John, the 18th chapter, and verse 17. Kinda, I can relate. I resemble the remark that Clay had in the announcements. And thank you, Jonathan, and for Reagan's help in getting us into the driver's seat here. There's a plain question that is asked. It's very simple. But Satan took the opportunity to tempt Peter to deny Christ in a sense. And there is a way in which when we live our lives here on earth as Christians, that whether in the job or whether in recreational activities or going into the grocery store or standing around and talking with friends that include those people of the world, the devil will try to tempt us to deny Christ or deny that we're a soldier in the body of Christ or that we're a Christian. We need to be careful about that. And that is at the root of our lesson today. In verse 17 of John, the 18th chapter, in the New King James Version, "Then the servant girl who kept the door said to Peter, 'You are not also one of this man's disciples, are you?'" Since that's the question, I'm going to repeat it. "You are not also one of this man's disciples, are you?" He said, "I am not. I know better than Peter, and therefore it is the case that I will not be able to put myself above making mistakes. And so none of us want to be too hard on him, for he is human, and he is imperfect. And there have been a lot of things that Jesus had said about the matter of Jesus' impending death. Many things had happened during the ministry of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so, there are two answers to the question, yes, I am his disciple or not. But there are four iterations of this question. Some can say, yes, I am his disciple. And really, they ought to be saying no, because they're not really a disciple. Some will say no, like Peter, but they really are a disciple. And they're actually denying Christ when they should be saying, yes, I am one of his disciples. And so we're going to look at the four iterations, two of which I've already given you a hint at. And we'll bring, hopefully, a good point in each of these that will encourage us to not crumble when the devil will tempt us in so many ways. But the purpose of this lesson is that we see that we not crumble and deny Christ. In Matthew 10, around verse 32, Jesus wants us to confess him before men and women. And we have to be willing to not just do it right before our baptism and then stop professing him, but we want to be able to go through our life as Christians and be willing to own the fact that Jesus is Lord. He is our Savior. He is King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and not succumb to this type of temptation like Peter did on this occasion. I'm actually afraid to hit the next button, enter or page down. Either one. He gave it to me where I could take care of it like this. In John 8, in verse 31, we find a familiar passage. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him, if, it's an if-then statement, if you continue in my word, then, in italics, supplied by the translators, you are truly my disciples. That should be our goal in life, is to take the word of God and to follow Jesus. But we don't get to use our whims and our think-sos and our beliefs. And don't you think God would like this added? Because I know it's not in the new cup. No. If you continue in my word, the word of the Lord is sufficient. It's not a dead letter. It doesn't get unfashionable to those who recognize it as coming from a sovereign God who is able to give us 66 books of the Bible, 27, if I've got my math right, in the New Covenant, the New Testament, where things in Matthew, Mark, and Luke and John were hybrid, that is, Jesus was living under the old law, but Luke 16:16-18 teaches that he was teaching things concerning the kingdom of God that was going to come, Acts 2, Pentecost, and that when he left, they would still need help from the Holy Spirit, John 14:15-16, to guide them into all the truth. Jesus taught them truths, but they couldn't digest all of the truth of the New Covenant. And so the Holy Spirit would be sent as a comforter. The baptismal measure would come to the apostles and the household of Cornelius later. But they would be guided, the apostles, into all truth so that they could preach and teach the gospel of the kingdom of God that we know as the law of Christ, the New Covenant, that which we have contained in Matthew through Revelation, properly divided, separating into the four Gospels those things that were Old Testament for the lives of those Jews that were still under the old law, including Jesus, and then picking up in with the preparatory teachings that are there and push them in with Acts forward in our New Covenant. It's a plain question. It deserves an answer. And the way in which we can say yes and truly be correct is if we're continuing in the Word of God, in the New Covenant. And for those who believe, maybe even ignorantly, that they are Christians and they're not following the Word correctly, they're lost, but they're deceived, thinking they are the disciples of Christ. And guess whose responsibility it falls to teach the Word? Not the angels. Jesus isn't coming back to do that. He's coming back to judge. He will not set foot on this earth. The Scriptures teach when He comes back, it's judgment day. Matthew 28:18-20, as we have spoken before, is a cyclical approach that was given by Jesus to the apostles at first. Go into all the nations, teach, baptizing, make disciples, and then teaching them to observe all things that we've commanded you. Therefore, Christians, men and women, in their proper roles, with several ability, meaning according to your talents and abilities, to that degree that we have the opportunities, we are to sow the seed and teach others. So that means when we look at all the people and we judge righteous judgment by using the mirror of God's Word, shining it ourselves first and making sure we're ready and fit for service for the Lord as a soldier, we don't go out trying to kill and slay all these people that are unbeknownst enemies of Christ. We need to teach them, be it a track, be it an invitation to come to services, be it taking a teacher with us, asking for the Bible study, asking, would you like to read the Bible together, asking, do you have any Bible questions? Not to be a brainiac or in any way less than an humble servant or more than an humble servant of Jesus Christ our Lord. Because God uses human vessels, namely Christians, to go forth and be able to make more disciples, or at least give people the opportunity to hear the Word and to choose where they will put and cast their lot for the day of judgment, which is coming for all. Here's the four possibilities: saying no and saying it truthfully. An atheist will say, we're not going to preach the whole lesson here, this is the roadmap. The atheist will say in this category, no, I'm not a disciple of Christ. I don't believe in God, therefore I don't believe in the Father, the Son, or the Holy Spirit. And they say it truthfully. We'll talk about them briefly. And then there are those that say, yes, I'm a disciple of Christ. I'm very dedicated. And they'll tell you where they go to services and where they worship and what's going on with their ball teams and the things that they've got going on in different aspects of what they consider to be continuing in the Word. Well, they may need some adjustments, but you've got to appreciate the vigor and the interest that they have and the zeal. But it might be a zeal according to knowledge. How would we know? We take the Word of God and we rightly divide it. And we can discern it. And when we find that there needs to be an adjustment made in our lives, we need to do it, whether it's the work of the individual or whether it's the work and worship of the local church or the organization of the local church. And it would be the same for any human being on this earth. And again, we bear a responsibility. It's not just enough to get us in our little red wagon walking in the light, 1 John 1. That's continuing in the Word. That's synonymous with what is being said. Are you one of His disciples? If you continue in the Word. But we're not walking in the light if we're not doing what God wants us to do. Not to meritoriously earn anything, for we need all of God's help. But to be faithful and to stay away from sin, we must engage the fight, the good fight of faith, the race that we are to run as Christians, not against each other or other people, but the race that takes us to heaven. We can't earn it, but that is what is part of walking in the light. It is an action-based Christianity, not a get your jersey, sit on the sideline, and keep your jersey clean, and they won't even have to wash it. You know, that's not the case. The group number three is saying no when they should say yes. And Peter, and I would suggest that there are others that are in this group as well. But you must be indeed a disciple of Christ to do this, but this is the denying Christ. And number four, the group that would say yes and say it truthfully. And that is where we want to be spiritually. We want to be able to say, not to beat our chest, but so glad that we found the gospel. However we did, some have come from families where the parents did not even worship the God of heaven at all, anywhere, at any time. Others to the other extreme have been born into families that studied the Word of God and found the truth in whatever way they did and brought us where we can't even remember the first time that we went to services. What a joy for Abigail, a newborn in our group here. She will never be able, as best I know, to articulate the first time in her life she was brought to services. What a wonderful thing, and may it be for many more families to have that. That doesn't guarantee success. It will take learning the Word and continuing in the Word and asking God for forgiveness when we stumble and receiving through the blood of Christ being applied the forgiveness of our sins, because that's what God wants. He doesn't want it to be wasted on anyone that Jesus made the ultimate sacrifice and people snub their nose or turn away or fall from the truth. How terrible that is, and I've been there. It is terrible for those that have once named the name of Christ to spend any time playing with the devil. There's not a nanosecond of time that there's anything worthy or worthwhile. Yes, it's tempting. It's the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, but it does us no good. We're wasting time, and Jesus may come at any time for the judgment. We don't have a second chance doctrine as some people teach today. Well, I know that I'd be lost today, but that's the rapture. And then I'll have to work harder because I understand what the Bible says about after they're gone. But I'll really hunker down then. And because of this second chance gospel, they're being fed lies when they believe that. And a separate study would bear that out, which we hope to do in the future. Scoffers are one category of people who would say no and say it truly. A scoffer is found in like 2 Peter 3 verse 4, King James Version, and saying, where's the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Verse 5, for this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, verse 6, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. Yes, we should be able to tell, but the scoffer is truly saying no. They don't want to believe that which the Bible teaches. The end result will come, 2 Thessalonians 1, verses 7 through 9. 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 through 9. Many did this as memory work, maybe, in wherever you grew up. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Salvation is only in Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. John 14, verse 6. Acts 4, verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Scoffers will not be glorifying God. Romans 1, 21 and 22 and 23 read as this. Romans 1, 21 through 23. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the uncorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Who else might you think of that would truly be in this category that say, no, these people need teaching now. We're not to dismiss them. Now, if we try and they won't teach with us, we don't keep casting our pearls before swine. We need to move on and try to find, but we are to indiscriminately sow the seed. The parable of the sower is not a guide on how to do agriculture and just sow the seed on the good ground so you don't waste your time. No. We're graded, if you could call it that. We are judged, we are observed by the Godhead above on how we sow. And we should not try to devise any other way than God's way to bring people to the gospel. And think that we can come up with a creative way that's not found in Scripture and that'll get them to the gospel. No, we need to sow the seed. We need to teach the Word. We try to meet people where they are on the roadmap of life. And we find that they're everywhere from the atheists and the scoffers all the way up to those that have gone to Bible colleges and theological schools and have multiple degrees and are in an error situation, teaching multiple points of error, but still can be won to Christ with the gospel. There are several gospel preachers who maybe most of them are dead from the articles that I know in my time. Grover Stevens was in a denomination preaching the gospel. Robert Jackson was in a different denomination preaching what he thought was the gospel, but now preaches the gospel. Let me back up on Grover Stevens and others that have written articles on why they left the denomination that they were associated with to find the Lord's way, convert to Jesus Christ, and do the individual works that are individually taught for us to do, and let the church be the church, but only do that which is authorized, because if we continue in God's Word, then are we His disciples indeed. We'd like to take a sidestep for a moment and go to two scriptures that talk about that we're to take care, we're to be very careful in adhering to the Word. Would you go with me to 1 Timothy 4 and Titus 3? 1 Timothy 4. Paul is writing to a younger man than himself, giving wise instruction for us all, because the things that he was to hear from Paul, he was to commit that those same things to faithful anthropos. Not the aner, that is the male gender, but mankind. Anthropology is the study of mankind, and in the Greek, in 2 Timothy 2:2, the word is anthropos. So you commit the things that I've taught you, Timothy, to faithful men and women that they may be able to teach others also, so that we all have a burden to share in trying to get the word of Christ out to others. 1 Timothy 4, verse 6, and then we'll move down in that same chapter. He says, if you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ. Notice, nourished in the word of faith and of the good doctrine, here it is, which you have carefully followed. We want to be careful with the Scriptures, and we want to carefully follow them, not adding to or taking from. Just as Old Testament passages throughout the book of Deuteronomy continue to teach, carefully, look up carefully followed in a search engine, in a Bible program, and see how many instances that you can find. In this same chapter, we can go down to verse 13 through 16, that is 1 Timothy 4. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by the prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. Notice, meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this you will both save yourself and those who hear you. Is that important? It has to do with our eternal salvation or damnation, as the case might be. Titus 3, 8 and 14. Titus 3, verses 8 and 14. New King James. This is a faithful saying, and these things I want to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. Somebody says, well, I think this would be a good idea. Not if God didn't say in His Word that it was something good. Oh, we need to feed all the hungry people. Sounds good. Till you read the passage that says, if a man won't work, neither should he eat. Let's take God's Word carefully, and let's help all that we can. Galatians 6:10. James 1:27. With regard to individual activity, let's do that. But let's not neglect, because we're not careful enough with the Word, that we don't see that we need to vet people to see if they are candidates worthy of help, because of what God teaches in the entirety of the New Testament on the subject. That's another obligation, just like trying to teach an atheist, that falls upon us in James 4, around verse 17, if I've got it right, check it. To him that knoweth to do good, and doeth it not, to him it's sin. It's a sin of omission that we could be lost over. We don't want to do that. We want to be doing the things that God would have us do, so that we are really walking in the light, and we can help one another in this regard. Hurriedly, we already mentioned atheists. They're in a very similar situation to the scoffers. They'll say no and beat their chest and laugh at us who claim to be Christians because of our ways, and taking a book that they don't believe came from an almighty God and believe outlandish theories like the theory of evolution in most cases. The agnostics, they don't want to know. They're not willing to even sometimes crack the book open. I had an uncle like this, a very dear uncle, and as much as we learned about printing from him, because he had his own printing company in Birmingham, Alabama, after leaving the electrical, that uncle would not crack the book open. Oh, he and Bob, Dad and Bob Arkwright went over there and printed religious materials. He wasn't reading any of it. It went out the door with Brother Arkwright and Dad. And that's a shame. We tried to teach him. Honest, informed non-Christians who say, and I had another uncle on my mother's side of the family this time. He was raised among brethren. He believed the truth of the gospel on the first principles, but he married a non-Christian who was a very good woman in many respects, but a devout denominationalist. Guess who made the decision of where they were going to church? She did. He was an honest, well-informed non-Christian, because he didn't obey the gospel. And he, to this day, to my knowledge, has not. But if you ask him what's the truth on how to become a Christian, he'll say you've got to follow the New Testament. He's heard it from a child like Timothy. Mother was raised in the same family, but obeyed the gospel. It's a choice for each individual. Honest, erring Christians that would be out of fellowship with God and faithful brethren. If you say, are you a disciple of Christ? And they say, I'm an unfaithful child of God. I need to repent and do what's right. Well, let's go. What do you need? Anything we can do to help? No, I'm waiting for a more convenient season. They're saying no to the question, are you a disciple? There are those that are involved, because denominationalism is separated from Catholicism in our American culture. There are individuals that are saying, yes, I'm a disciple. And some very fervent in it, in these categories. And yes, number four, there are those that are in erring churches of Christ that are saying they are right with God, they're in fellowship, and they're violating the pattern of God's Word. Hey, don't beat your chest. We have an obligation to go try to restore them, Galatians 6, 1 and 2, as far as point number 4. And as far as point number 1, 2, and 3, we have a responsibility to go into all the world and preach to those that are not truly Christians and followers of Jesus at one time and have fallen away and know their state. So before we get too haughty, we've got to realize, are we doing what we can individually and as a congregation to evangelize the community? And I love the efforts that we're making. I love the efforts that we're making and the classes that are going on and the opportunity of asking. Remember, we are not graded on the results, though we're happy to see them. God gives the increase. God says, sow the seed. That's our job. It's up to the free moral agency of men and women that we try to teach and get to teach in some cases as to whether they obey or not. God is pleased if we're doing the seed sowing as we should. Peter said no. And he should have stood up and said, yes, I follow Jesus. I cast my lot with Jesus. But he didn't on that occasion. So those of us that like Peter, and I want to broaden the scope of just being asked, are you one of Jesus' disciples? And if they ask that verbatim question, yeah, I'm going to say yes. But if they start asking me about my convictions and all, I'm not going there. We just don't talk about, you know, politics and religion. That's not what Matthew 28, 18 through 20 is asking us to do, is it? Or is it rather almost in command form, the way that is suggested there? Let's move on. Saying yes and saying it truthfully. This is the steadfast. This is the group that we want to be in. This is the armed, the soldier illustration in Ephesians 6. Taking unto us the whole armor of God. Not leaving anything off in the armament of the Christian. Abiding in the Word, that language is used in John 8, 31 that we started with. Walking in the light, we know that's in 1 John 1, verses 6 through 9. It doesn't make us not human. We are still human. We'll make mistakes. We still need to grow. The growth should be going on in our spirituality. From a babe in Christ, and even those of us who have been Christians for years, decades even, are still in the Word, studying, testing what we believe and teach and practice. And if we need to change, be open-minded and willing to do such. If we don't have that kind of heart, we don't have the heart condition like God wants us to be open to the truth. So we circle back around to the beginning of our lesson, and that is, Jesus is saying to those who had believed on Him, if you abide in My Word, then you are truly My disciples. Let's all renew our mind from the Word to look at the entire New Testament. Please, if you need a schedule to read it in a month, it can be done. 9 chapters or so a day, and you can get through the New Covenant. Oh, I could never do that. Yes, you could. It's amazing. Does it take some self-discipline? Absolutely. But it might be less than a 30-minute television show. Or an extra 30 minutes on the game, whatever the game is that you might love to play. And still get to play the game and still get to record part of the game. Or wait until all the commercials and the huddles and everything like that are stripped from it. And I'm not saying it's wrong to have hobbies and to take physical exercise. It's good for us. It's authorized. But let us not do those things to the neglect of trying to better ourselves and grow. Let's don't take the attitude like the guy that I told you about in other lessons I'm just a C student, Lord. Meaning he wasn't going to try to get to be what would be equivalent in his mind to a B student or an A student. I'm just a C student, Lord. That's not good enough. We're not racing against each other now. There are going to be some people that have more talents than us. That's fine. Just rise to the abilities that you can rise to. And don't settle. Don't settle. Because our life is a human sacrifice to God above. And we should make that sacrifice just as wonderfully well as we can, that it'll be a good sacrifice as we walk in the light. And it includes the inclusivity, that's the word of the day, that's about as big as I can get in one lesson, of us being like I think that we are growing to be better and better and better as the church in a local sense, the family of God in this place, talking to one another, nourishing our relationships with each other, doing more things together toward that spiritual end of being able to talk to one another, to be able to share and bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ in Galatians 6 again. So the lesson's yours. Thanks for being attentive. Thanks for bearing with the first part of the little bumpy road of technology. I hope that there has been something that would spur you or motivate you to consider these things and do a self-check, a self-analysis. Plan, do, check, act. Plan, do, check, act, if that's the right thing. We can use good models that are in business and apply them for our spiritual life that we plan to do right. And then we do what we think is right. And then we check with the Word of God to ensure that we're doing what's right. And then we act again. But we continually do that type of self-evaluation and ask others for feedback. What could I have improved in this lesson? Or what do you think about this Bible topic? Or what do you think this verse means? We shouldn't be scared about talking about the Bible, especially with our own brothers and sisters in Christ. And then we're more ready to talk with others who are outside the body of Christ. If we don't know how to teach, there are plenty of other teachers that will be happy to. Some people are great at setting up appointments with other people to study. I'm not going to preach the whole New Covenant today, so I'm going to stop. If you're subject to the gospel call in any way, need to make an adjustment in your life, become a Christian, or correct something that was public, or just ask for the prayers of the saints for encouragement, we stand ready to help you day or night. If you're subject at this time, won't you come while together we stand and sing.